Good morning, everybody. I hope that you guys all had a great Christmas that was full of lots of family and fun and the opportunity to come and worship Jesus together. Let's take a moment to pray and we will dive into our passage. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to come and to worship you. And Lord, we pray that we would worship you not by the power of our own strength, that we would not obey you out of the power of our own strength, but through the empowerment of your Holy Spirit, that it would be you, Jesus, who lives through us. And that you would be working out your redemptive plan for us. Lord, thank you for your scriptures. And thank you that you give us a fresh start each day. In Jesus' name, amen. For those of you who have been around, we took a quick break during our study of the book of Galatians for Christmas, but we are back in the book of Galatians. And for those of you who may not remember or may not have been here, Galatians is written by the Apostle Paul, and he was a man who God did amazing things through. This is a man who had hated the church and he had persecuted the church. He had even sought to kill Christians, and then God met him and Jesus came down after the resurrection and changed who Paul was. Changed his heart, changed his mind, and this man who had sought to kill Christians then turned around and was going towards Jesus, planting churches, telling people all over the world about Jesus. And what we see is he went and he spent time in the region of Galatia. So it would be, as he writes this letter, he writes it to the churches in Galatia, it would be like writing a letter to the churches in Northwest Indiana. And what we find is that even though these Gentiles, these non-Jewish people have embraced, even though Jesus has radically transformed so many things in their lives, legalism has begun to creep into the church. And rather than falling into some of what we might consider the more gross sins or the things that we normally think of as sinful, the churches in Galatia have become self-righteous. They have begun finding their righteousness in themselves and their own behavior rather than the righteousness of God. And so that's kind of where we find ourselves as we read this book. And Paul begins in Galatians 4. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me there. Galatians 4, beginning in verse 11. I am afraid that I have labored over you in vain. Brothers, I entreat you, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You did me no wrong. You know it was because of a bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to you at first. And though my condition was a trial to you, you did not scorn or despise me, but received me as an angel of God. as Christ Jesus. What then has become of the blessing you felt? For I testify to you that if possible, you would have gouged out your eyes and given them to me. Have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth? They make much of you, but for no good purpose. They want to shut you out that you may make much of them. It is always good to be made much of for a good purpose, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. I wish I could be present with you now and change my tone, for I am perplexed about you. What we see is happening and has begun to happen within this church in Galatia is these Gentiles, these non-Jewish believers who have embraced Jesus, have embraced the gospel of Jesus, have embraced the fact that Jesus has offered us his righteousness for our sinfulness. He took on our sinfulness and he gave us his righteousness. Martin Luther calls it the great exchange. And the Galatians in these churches have embraced this. And it's this wonderful, incredible thing that God has done for us. And then all of a sudden, within the church, going throughout the churches, spreading throughout the churches, is this group called the Judaizers. This group of Jewish people who they say, yes, we believe in Jesus, but what Jesus points us to be is good Jewish people. And what they're demanding of these Gentile Christians is that they begin starting to practice every aspect of the law of Moses. I think it's somewhere around 500 plus laws that are found there. Many of them ceremonial. Many of them to show themselves as distinguished, as set apart. And what we find is that the natural desire of us as human beings is not to be putty in the hands of God. When we hear about the gospel, it seems like this is the easiest possible thing in the world. All we have to do is say, God, I am yours. I am putty in your hands. And we don't have to do anything, but instead, as Paul says, it is not I who live, but Christ who lives through me. And it's no longer us working on our own power, but instead what it is Christ through his Holy Spirit working in us and changing us and transforming us. Paul claims elsewhere in Scripture that if anyone has reason to boast, he has reason. He's a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was circumcised on the eighth day. He has kept many laws and he's done everything that he's supposed to do. But instead, he elsewhere in Scripture refers to himself as the chief of all sinners. If anybody has cause, anybody has reason to boast in the flesh, to boast in their own ability, it's Paul. Yet why do we find himself calling himself the chief of all sinners? Because the closer he gets to Jesus, the more he realizes how sinful he is, even in the good and the righteous things that he has done. He had sinful motives behind them. Even if that motive is, I am going to do this right, as opposed to, I am going to let God rule in my life. And I think that's where we find ourselves, as we find ourselves much in the same position as Paul, much in the same position as the Galatians, and as we find ourselves here, as we read the scripture, we find all these laws and we find all these rules, and rather than letting Jesus work through the Holy Spirit in us, we say, you know what, it's easier to do it on our own power. It's easier for us to say, I'm going to be a good person. It's easier for us to say, I'm going to be a good Christian. I really, really want you to get this. Much of the religion we practice, and I don't mean what James talks about of pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father, is this: to care for the orphans and the widows in their distress. I don't mean the core doctrines of Christianity. What I mean by religion is the way that we try to find acceptance and earn God's favor. Much of the problem with the way that we practice religion is the fact that we think that we can earn or merit God's favor. Like, we needed the booster rocket of faith to get us up into the atmosphere, but then from there we're going on our own jets to circle the world. Jesus is so much bigger than that. If Jesus is going to be our Lord, if you claim that Jesus is your Lord, then you are not going to be working out of your own power. You will not be proud of what you have done, because you will realize, we will realize, that like Paul, we are sinners and we are chiefs of sinners. That even the good things that we do are muck in the eyes of God. And the only way that we can be seen as righteous in God's eyes is that He has made us clean. That He has taken on our sin and given us His righteousness. Paul started off this passage with saying, I am afraid that I have labored over you in vain. It's like, I shared the gospel with you. I told you all about Jesus. I told you about Jesus' righteousness. I told you that He took on your sin and that He gave you His righteousness. But now what are you doing? You're not relying on His righteousness. You're not relying on His Spirit that He gave you. Instead, you're trying to do it on your own. And I am as guilty of this as anyone in this room. We get into this mode and we start making checklists, and it becomes more about doing the right thing than doing the right thing. It becomes more about living this way and appearing that way to people than it does about listening to the Holy Spirit and letting Christ through us. And what Paul is saying is, I'm afraid that I've labored over you in vain because you are living by your own power and not by faith, not by allowing Jesus to work in you. And Paul's a little confused by the Galatian church because when he was there in Galatia, it seemed like they had embraced the gospel. It seemed like they had welcomed him, he says, as an angel of God or as Christ Jesus. That's the kind of welcome that they had given him. They were so excited to have him, so excited to meet him. They embraced him. They embraced his message. They clasped on to the gospel. And then now as he's gone, now as he's no longer pastoring them or no longer there in their presence, they have abandoned the faith. And instead, they have left the being a follower of Jesus to become an obeyer of the Mosaic Law and to do things through their own power. And we don't know all of the details, but he says that the reason he was able to spend so much time with them was because of a bodily ailment. There are lots of different ideas and theories beyond or about this. But what we know is that there was some type of illness that he was dealing with, and that prolonged his time in Galatia. Now, the next verse, I think, kind of gives us a clue that it had something to do with his eyes. Because what he says is that they would have been willing, if possible, to have gouged out their eyes and given them to him. To me, what that sounds like is, I'm having trouble seeing, and so I'm having to stay in one place. Or, you know what, this is going on with my eyes, and I don't know what's going on, and I can't do the kind of traveling that I had planned on doing. But God used that so that I could preach the gospel to you. And they had embraced him with such love and such admiration and such respect and such joy over the truth of the gospel, over the truth that they didn't have to do a single thing except believe and accept Jesus' gift of righteousness. That's it. And let God work in them. They had embraced it so much that they would have been willing to gouge out their own eyes to continue the ministry of Paul, the ministry of Jesus through Paul. And if we jump back to, I think it's verse 12, he talks about, become as I am, for I also became as you are. What's happening in the Galatian church is they are rejecting following Jesus for obeying rules. And what Paul has done is he has become like the Galatians, and he has chosen to follow Jesus and not be bound by the ceremonial laws of the Old Testament. Because Jesus has taken care of that and given him his righteousness. So there are dietary laws he no longer has to deal with. And he has become like the Galatians. And what's happening in the Galatian church is there's this group, the Judaizers, that's coming in and saying, hey, you guys are Christians now. You guys are good Jewish people. You need to stop eating pork. You need to be circumcised. You need to observe this festival and that festival. And what Paul is saying is, I no longer do that because I don't have to, because Jesus has given me his righteousness. And if Jesus has given you his righteousness, then you don't need to earn this anymore. Now, I know that one of the fears that we are going to have as we hear a gospel like this preached, as we hear the gospel that Paul preaches, is one of our fears is going to be that if we say we don't have to follow those anymore, if we say we don't have to follow the law anymore, then isn't that going to create anarchy? Isn't that going to push us to where we can just choose to sin freely and do whatever we want to do? If Jesus is the one who is working in us, if he is the one who is living in us, then it will not result in sin. But if we are working under our own power every time, it will result in sin. Even if we do the right thing. We must allow the Holy Spirit to work in us through faith, praying and asking God, Jesus, live through me and let me die to myself. Let me take up my cross and follow you. I'm telling you, that our natural inclination is going to be to find a way in our faith, in our religion, to become proud about what we have done. In fact, Paul even says here that that's how the Judaizers have gotten the Galatians to go astray. He says they've made much of you. He says, oh good, you guys got circumcised. Oh good, you guys stopped eating pork. And all they're doing is in this flesh, as they're obeying these laws, as they're obeying these list of rules, marking off their checklist of things that they have to do. They're doing it in their own strength, and they're being sucked in to their own pride. And being drawn away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am worried for us that we have become so content with our walk of faith that we are no longer walking in faith. We aren't allowing the Holy Spirit to confront us with sin in our lives. We're not recognizing that even the good things we do in and of ourselves are sinful. And instead, what we have done is we have become proud in what we have accomplished. We say, look at my faithfulness. Look at what I have done. Look at my track record. And instead, what we need to be saying is, I have been so blessed that God has allowed me to be a part of his ministry. Pride will get in our way when we are quote unquote good religious Christians. Those of you, though, who try to go the opposite direction and say, you can't tell me what to do because I'm free in Christ and I'm going to do whatever the heck I want to do. You're not letting Jesus live through you either. Instead, what we find is that our freedom in Christ frees us up to do the will of God, not frees us up to do whatever our sinful fleshly desires have for us. And what Paul says is, my little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. I know what Paul's talking about here. Even though many of you are of a generation that you could be my parents or my grandparents, I have a passion for you as a pastor and as a father, and it is painful as a mother, as this verse talks about. Any of you ladies who have endured childbirth, you know that it is horrendously painful. And what Paul is talking about is that his call as pastor, as leader in the church, as spiritual father to these congregations, is that he is in pain over them, asking that Jesus would be formed in them. That it would not be they who live, but that Jesus who would be living through the collective churches in Galatia. And I'll tell you that when I see, whether it's pride and self-righteousness or pride and a refusal to allow Jesus to be Lord of our life, it is painful as a pastor to see that in the congregation. I have spent more time in prayer and in tears over this congregation than any of you will ever know. I love you all, even though you age-wise are my elders. I love you like children. I feel the responsibility for you like my children. And it hurts when I see us trade in the gospel of Jesus Christ, trade in the righteousness of Jesus Christ for our own attempts to be good and righteous. And I'm glad that I don't have to finish with the verse that Paul finished with here. He says, I wish I could be present with you now and change my tone, for I am perplexed by you. He says, you know what? I don't understand what's going on. I'm not there with you. I'm hearing these reports and it's confusing because I knew you embraced the gospel and now you guys are rejecting it, and what's going on? And I wish that I could be with you and that I could calm down and stop biting your head off. I'm glad that I am with you and able to remind you in person that all our good deeds amount to nothing because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that the only way we can have righteousness is through faith in Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, his exchange of his righteousness for our sinfulness. Because he lived the perfect life that we could not live. He died the death that each of us deserved to die. And he is raised from the grave, giving us promise of eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to study your word. We ask that you would be continually changing and transforming our hearts through your Holy Spirit, through your Son Jesus, by using faith and not our own self-righteousness. Lord, we as a church repent, not just confess, but we turn away from our self-righteousness and we turn towards you and your free gospel, your free good news. Amen.